Have you ever wondered what makes zombies moan that way? Or why they lurch around with their arms stretched out, as if they're about to tip over? And where they get that bottomless appetite for as many human brains as they can stuff down? Well, just in time for Halloween, we may have some answers. Dr. Steven Schlossman is a psychiatry professor at Harvard Medical School, and he's been obsessed with zombies ever since first seeing filmmaker George Romero's 1968 classic Night of the Living Dead.
We have to go out and get Johnny. He's out there. Please, don't you hear me? We've got to go out and get him.
Don't you know what's going on out there? This is no Sunday school picnic.
Don't you understand? My brother is alone.
Your brother is dead.
That movie got him wondering, if there really were zombies, how exactly would their brains function? Or, maybe more accurately, what is it about zombie brains that's malfunctioning? He joins us in the studio to share some of his theories. Steve, thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You have a container here in which you actually have some brains.
I do. I need to stress that these are sheep brains. They're the kind that you would get at a high school if you're going to do a dissection.
I was one of those high school students that wrote a paper so I didn't have to dissect the brain. And here I am as an adult, finally having to do what I avoided when I was a teenager.
If you want, you can hold this one.
I'll just watch.
So brains, even though they're in preservatives that are meant to keep them sterile, it is a good idea to wear gloves.
And I should note, we have newspaper spread all over the studio table.
Right.
So this may be messy, but at least we'll be able to keep it relatively clean.
Exactly. And what will mostly be messy is the preservative, not the brains themselves. So I'm reaching into a jar right now that has five sheep brains shoved into it. And even though we're in the radio, I can tell you it looks an awful lot like a human brain. It's just a lot smaller.
Why don't we start with the frontal lobe?
Sure.
The basics that I know is it's in charge of executive functioning and impulsivity.
That is true. So frontal lobe is creatively named because it sits in the front part of the brain. And it is in charge of something called executive functioning, which basically means solving complex problems, the things you would expect a busy executive to do. In the case of a zombie, they can't even open a window, so let alone solve complex issues. And then the added aspect of the frontal lobe is it controls impulsivity. That's basically the word we use for when you do something that maybe 30 seconds later you wish you hadn't. So if you flip somebody off because they're going too fast, you might think of that as an impulsive action, and the frontal lobe is hopefully what tells you not to do that.
So zombies tend to be impulsive, and they also tend not to think very clearly.
Yeah,
can I assume their frontal lobes are not functioning well?
That's a very safe assumption. If you watch any of the classic zombie movies, they are dumb and impulsive.
What about the amygdala? I remember this name from high school, but I don't remember what it does.
It's really cool. It's a favorite brain region for psychiatrists or anybody who thinks about behavior in the brain. Sometimes people call it the crocodile brain because that's really all there is to a crocodile's brain is the amygdala. It's responsible for really base emotions, the most base, fight, flight, maybe lust, no language. So your amygdala screams when it's frightened, but then your frontal lobe is what makes sense of what it's frightened of.
And zombies tend to be emotionally flat. So is that an amygdala misfunction?
They're affectively flat, emotionally flat, as you said, but they tend to appear rageful when they see food. And so we can think of the amygdala as fight or flight. So that amygdala screaming fight, like a crocodile's brain screams when it's hungry.
So it's kind of overactive in a zombie.
Yep.
All right, cerebellum and basal ganglia. I know this because you've done, I think, a fake medical journal article, which I have a little recap of. So I'm running through the parts of the brain that are listed in your fake medical journal.
So these are real parts of the brain, but there are no real zombies. But it was a great way to talk about the brain. So the cerebellum is the region of the brain that's responsible for balance. So all of us, or many of us, have toasted our cerebellums with alcohol, and you know that when you drink too much, it's hard to walk straight. And if you see the old zombie movies, they don't walk well. The basal ganglia is a primitive structure of the brain that secretes dopamine sort of south to the motor functions and allows for fluidity of motion. You have to have a functioning basal ganglia to swing a baseball bat.
So this explains why zombies are lurching and unsteady, because the cerebellum isn't working well and the basal ganglia aren't working well.
Absolutely.
Are there any classic zombie movie scenes which would illustrate the brain function or lack of function you're talking about?
Every slow-moving zombie movie, the slow, fast-moving debate is a big one. I'm sticking to the slow, shambling zombies, so Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead. In both of those, two of my very favorite movies ever, the zombies shamble around with this dead look. There's nothing there anymore. It may look like it was your mother, or your grandmother, your girlfriend, but it's not anymore. And the humans, at first, kill them with some reluctance, then take some delight in killing them, but eventually it eats away at their kind of humanity.
No, No!
The movie I Am Legend has had some controversy because some people say those aren't zombies. So tell us how suddenly there's debate over what is or isn't a zombie.
It's a great question. I have to tell you, I go to academic meetings and I go to places like Comic-Con. People yell and scream about what's an appropriate zombie and what's not, and it just cracks me up because it's all fun. Many folks would say those are not zombies. They're too high-functioning. They're sort of albino humanoids. They don't shamble. They can solve complex problems. They just don't fit the criteria for the classic zombies. And if you're a purist, you want the classic zombies like Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Night of Living Dead.
There's one more part of the brain I want you to talk about. And this has to do with why zombies are just voraciously hungry. They're insatiable. What's going on in their brains that makes them that way?
That was actually what first got my attention. I'm watching Night of Living Dead late at night. It's an eminent domain movie. You can all watch it on YouTube. It's a great movie. And they're hungry. They're eating all the time. So there's a region of the brain called the ventral medial hypothalamus. So it tells you when you've eaten enough. And when we humans ignore it all the time. We ignore it on Thanksgiving, for example. But at a certain point, our ventral medial hypothalamus screams, enough is enough, and we stop eating and we go lay down and try and sleep off however much we ate. In zombies, I would say something has happened to their ventral medial hypothalamus. And you can see this in mice. If you ablate the ventral medial hypothalamus, they will eat and eat and eat and eat until they die. So I would say that zombies have a very, very dysfunctional ventral medial hypothalamus, which is what's making them hungry.
You are an assistant professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Why, with such a serious job, do you actually spend some time focusing on the brains of zombies, which aren't even real?
I focus on the brains of zombies because it's a great way to talk about the brains of humans. There are no zombies. They don't exist. But there's humans, and teaching neuroanatomy and functional neurobiology is part of my job. That's what I do to med students. That's what I do with undergraduates. That's what I've done with high school students. If I come in as a little short, bald guy and say, I'm going to talk to you about the brain and I'm a shrink, they're going to start already deciding they know what I'm going to say. If I say, we're going to talk about zombies,
they're all ears.
And listen. Yeah. Okay. I also love writing. I've published short fiction. This is my first novel. I just sent in my second novel. I want to keep writing, and this was a great entrance to that.
Right. This novel you mentioned is called The Zombie Autopsies. I have it in front of me. The cover includes these fake bloody fingerprints. Right. So this is a novel you have written.
It is a novel that came out in March. Yep.
George Romero, the filmmaker behind Night of the Living Dead, has optioned this book. This may become a movie. Is that right?
I want to pinch myself. So I cold called George 2 years ago when I first started just messing around with this fake medical paper. And he called me back. And we've become friends since then. And he decided to adapt this for a screenplay. So we've been working on it.
Have you been interested in sci-fi and horror since you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can remember watching those creature features from 10 a.m. to noon every Saturday morning.
Dr. Stephen Schlossman is a psychiatrist at Harvard Medical School and Mass General Hospital, and he's the author of The Zombie Autopsies. Steve, thank you. And before you go, I have to ask, what are you going to be for Halloween this year?
I'm going to be a dad who's a professor at Harvard. I'm going to wear my tweed jacket and follow my sweet little princess, 6-year-old, and I think my older one's going as a green bean.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.